I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Is out. They're gonna talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 737, Super Mario Bores
2. I mean, it's kind of the second one, in theory.
Say what you will, that first one is not boring.
It's not boring.
See?
It is a movie.
You know, I honestly don't know if I've ever seen it.
It's wacky.
Hey, I think 40 when it came out.
Hey, that would be a good throwback.
That would be something.
Have Tom watch the original.
Oh, man.
Although, I like that movie, so I don't really want Tom to...
I learned my lesson. Yeah. I'm not going to share anything with you guys, because it just gets torn apart.
That was your mistake.
Yes. I made a mistake.
I love to on other people's childhood.
Don't yuck on somebody's yum.
Is it childhoods, or should it be childrenhood?
Oh.
Oh,
childhoods.
That's a profound...
I guess childhoods is like your childhood's thing.
But it's, if it's plural, the plural of like
childrenhoods.
It's brothers-in-law, not brother-in-laws. It's attorneys general.
Is it really?
Yes.
Oh.
We shall spend the next 58 minutes figuring this
out. Hey, man.
Yeah.
We did 15 minutes on duels, so why not?
I remember that
duel stuff was pretty interesting.
I thought it was very interesting.
I took a break and resumed editing it the next day. That's how long it was.
So I guess let's go around the virtual table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, iHeart. Wherever you find a podcast, you can find us. While you're there, be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. Maybe leave us a review. That's always helpful and appreciated. You can also find us on the Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. The group is called the League of Show Sharers, because that's what we're hoping you'll do. Share an episode, not start a league.
Yeah, please don't.
We've already got a league. we appreciate your thoughtfulness.
You can make a society.
We've got that covered.
Yeah.
So people who were kind enough to share an episode this week include Librarian Cynthia, Julianne Jordan, Tammy Lynn Powers, Betts, Chris Valls, Ralph Tribble, Gabriel Lugo, Phil Timon, Chris Magic Man, Travis Tewitt, Heather Sachs, Brent Smith, Christopher Rex, Dissect That Film, Edit Photo Gamer, David Rojas, James Gavsey, I hope I'm saying that right. That's a new one.
Jake Long, Locked and Loaded.
What? Who do I look like? Dan?
Invasion of the Remake, Batman, Rye Guy, Colby Mack, Spoiler Piece Theater, Mike, and Oscar, Geek to Me Radio, Feelin' Film, Vertigay 314, In Session Film, Ronnie Castle, Binge Movies, Matt Naglia, Nostalgia Cast, and Ryan Terry from the Forza Crowd podcast. So thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
We greatly appreciate it. Also, don't forget, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers. Where for $5 a month, you get bonus content, and we like you more.
And we just posted the tropes we hate the most. in movie theaters. In movie theaters. Well, that too.
Yeah.
But movies in general.
Yeah.
One of them is because of you.
Me?
Yes.
Which is the...
The Cars thing.
Oh.
I can't unsee it now.
Can't unsee it now? It
drives me crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That whenever you see an old movie with the Cars, always look brand spanking
new.
Because they just go to car collectors. And car collectors don't have crappy versions of old cars. They have really nice versions of old cars.
Right.
And also, I think if I knew enough about cars, I would also, I think this also happens if it's the movie set in 1956, like all the cars end up being
from 1956.
From 1956, as if they only started selling cars that very year.
Happy New Year, gotta go trade in.
Right, like it's like there would still be cars from the 30s and 40s. Right.
Absolutely,
around, right?
Be. And yes.
Model Ts.
Probably, yes.
That,
yeah.
Seriously,
those Model Ts were beasts, yeah. Man. Yeah. Like you couldn't, like they...
No matter how hard you tried.
That would have been a wild time to think about when cars started coming out and then a decade or two removed. There was no... The society wasn't like, oh, every few years I got to get a new car.
Right,
those
right.
People were probably like, I spent a crap ton of money on this. I'm sure. Going to use it until it doesn't car me.
I got to crank this some bitch up.
You know, yeah. A movie where you kind of see something like that, Paper Moon, right?
Because
He at the very end, have you seen Paper Moon?
Not in
decades. And remember, at the very end, he meets the hillbillies,
yeah.
And one of them is Randy Quaid, and they fight, and he's fighting for this old piece of crap truck,
right?
That the hillbillies still use, right? Because like, he needs a different car, so the cops won't follow.
Sure.
Randy Quaid was old enough to drive back in Paper Moon days.
Well, he was a hillbilly, so he could have been 10.
No, he was probably supposed to be. I guess early
is he
20s.
Older?
Yeah.
Is he the older brother? Then
I don't know. I never carded him.
I just never thought about Dennis? That. He would have been in that movie.
Maybe I think of Dennis as being the more responsible one.
Well, for sure.
I mean, Randy's probably aged himself quite a few years,
yes.
Regardless of being older or younger. He's
right.
Like, he has the huge beard.
Well,
and
yeah.
Crazy hair.
Yeah. He looks like what's Gary Busey or Nick Nolte. Like those guys, you know.
Randy Quaid is 72, so he would have been like 19 or 20 when that movie got
there
made.
There you go.
There it is. How old is Dennis Quaid?
Hang on.
He's right there.
See, that's why you start searching Quaid, comma, and then you can just delete it instead of having to retype it.
He is 69.
Oh, so he is the younger brother.
Yeah, nice.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
But did I do all the things?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay.
Perfect.
So, Super Mario Brothers.
So,
before we start.
Oh, man. Uh-oh. Talking about crapping on somebody's.
I just want to say, I don't even know if I'm going to crap on it. So, in 1996, Procter & Gamble introduced a food additive to the market called Alestra.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And the way Alestra worked is it reduced calories because as a fat additive, it tasted like what you wanted it to taste like, butter or sugar.
Sure. Oh, I think I know where this is going.
But the molecules worked in a way to where your body wouldn't digest it and it would just go right through you.
Yeah. Anal leakage.
And
it was the chips and stuff that if you ate them would.
Yeah. And this movie is the Alestra of...
That's films. A great point.
Like,
you know what?
Point.
You're not wrong.
Nothing about this movie digested for me.
I was
forgetting it while I watched it.
I enjoyed this movie for what it was. I didn't have a problem with it. I thought,
like, is that awful?
This is the most.
It's just
like
a whole lot of nothing.
This is the most kid-friendly animated movie I've seen in a long. Like it's not a bad thing.
This
is straight up for kids.
This is a movie for little kids.
Yes.
Little kids.
And that's where the disappointment comes in
because the fan base of Mario isn't little kids.
No.
That's exactly because I was talking with a friend about this and I go, okay, they made a movie for 7-year-olds and everyone defending it is going, well, yeah, it's for little kids. But it's like, okay, Super Mario fans aren't 7. They're 7 and 17 and 27 and 37. This would be...
I mean, I'm 52 and I played Mario.
I think I was...
I mean, because Donkey Kong was huge when I was a kid.
Oh, right on.
So, you know, and then Mario Brothers.
Sure.
You know, so yeah, I mean, there are people all over the age range.
So, it's not a problem if you make a movie that is just for 7-year-olds and you do a really good job at it, because I'm telling you, every 7-year-old is going to love the crap out of this thing.
There's
the thing is that Nintendo fans have been fans for 35 years.
Right.
And so when you go to a movie that's for little kids, like, I'm not going to go see a pony movie or what, like something that's made for just little kids.
Right, like if you're going to make a movie just for 7 year olds, that's fine, but call it Teletubbies.
Right,
right?
Sure.
Like that's what that's
exactly. Because with people that are saying like, oh, well, it is what it is for kids, whatever. Okay, well, there's Elmo movies that are great for little kids.
Right.
There are Puppy Dog Pals, which, you know, Jono's, you know, that's the annoying one that Harlan Williams created.
Nope.
You on Disney? You've never
nope.
Okay. Well,
I got Bluey.
Well,
I can do Bluey.
Congratulations, yeah. First of all.
Get a couple beers with them.
So that's the thing, is where it's disappointing, because when you come out with a franchise that I grew up with, like I grew up in the 80s on NES, right?
Yeah.
And I never stopped. And I agree, it's great. You can play Mario with your kids, and every generation, little kids can play it, but adults like it too.
Right.
And they came out and they made us wait 30 years since the last movie. And then they made a movie.
Well, they had to. It was so bad that they had to wait.
But they just made a movie for little kids.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's a good excuse, because then people...
Yeah, I hate this thing you see going around about, well, it's for kids.
Okay,
it's
like, How to Train Your Dragon.
Right.
Even Despicable Me.
Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Shrek.
Here's the thing.
Why do we get to use this excuse for movies that... Because people love Mario, so they go, oh, it's for kids, when it's like, we don't use that excuse for Disney.
I don't even know if the people making that excuse love Mario.
Yeah.
I think they just want to, they're just people that want to sit there and be like, you're a nerd for caring.
Or they're critic bashing. That's what it really comes down to, is you see with this movie, the things coming back with this, the critics are so disconnected. But it's like, okay, you have to.
Part of that is true. I do think there is some truth to it.
But here's the thing. So on Rotten Tomatoes, when a movie gets reviewed, it gets maybe 150. And if it's Avengers, it gets 400. Right.
Reviews, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Out of 7 billion people in the world, you are sampling 200 to 400 people in the world. So you have to remember, this is a small sample size. But what is the job of critics? It is to critique things.
Yeah.
Just because a critic says this film and the story and the pacing and the CG and the voice acting, these things are bad, does not mean no one should enjoy this piece of crap, and if you do, you're dumb. No critic is saying that.
Yeah.
So on the flip side, as a fan, you can enjoy it, and that's great, but to trash critics because they are critiquing something, it's the job.
Also, I would say it's not the job, because almost none of us are getting paid for it.
That's true.
Right?
That is true.
Film criticism has never been more democratized than it is right now. Right?
Yes.
It used to be you had to find a newspaper to hire you, or a TV station or radio station, or you would have no voice.
Now you can send a tweet.
Right.
And now anybody can do it.
Right.
And that's both good and bad. But I think for the most part, it's more good than bad. And you get a lot of voices out there that you wouldn't have heard
from
otherwise, I think is good and bad, but by and large good.
But with Netflix, right? They're hiring a much more diverse set of people. You're giving there's more chances for people to make movies.
To make movies.
Yeah, sure. So it's the same kind of thing where it's like, now you're hearing so many different kinds of voices. But this whole thing about critics are critiquing this movie and saying, like, they're not saying don't take your kids. I think almost every review is like, this movie has no story. It's just pure Easter eggs, whatever. Your 7 year old will love it. They're telling the truth.
Right.
It's not saying, if you like this, you're dumb. They're saying, it's for kids. Kids will love it. They missed the mark on...
It's tough, because I think the Disney, Pixar, Sony machine, I guess not Sony, but like those three companies have raised the bar so much when it comes to what an animated film can be.
Yeah.
Again, I didn't hate this movie. I thought it was fine.
But this is what animated kids' movies used to be.
That's right. Yes,
this is a movie for kids and only kids, where we have now gone so far past. Again, this is not... I love animation. This is not me attacking.
No. But movies
used to be more, kids' movie in theater.
Right.
Bring the kids. It's a kids' movie. Parents will be bored to death.
Right.
Then this thing happened with really Shrek.
You think it was before that?
Toy Story.
Oh, sure.
Pixar changed the game for sure, but I mean more like when the joke's going over your head, like Shrek really changed the attitude, I think, of animated
films. Well, I mean, Shrek brought in a different tone.
Yes.
But I really feel like Toy Story was the first one where grown-ups were like, I know it's a kid's movie,
but
you need to go see this. It's really good.
I mean, you're not wrong at all. But that's when the tone started to change. And so to all the people saying, well, what
Shrek
did you...
Shrek introduced irony to kids' movies.
Yeah. But with the people that are saying, you know, I mean, respectfully, but the people that are giving the excuse of it's for kids, what did you expect? Look at Disney. the biggest animation studio out there. When they make Disney movies, those are movies everybody enjoys.
Right.
Disney movies aren't for little kids.
And I don't feel
like, that's true. They're right? not. They're, no. Not anymore.
Yeah, they're not for little kids.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? When you say it's not for little kids,
not just
it, yeah, it makes it sound like it's there's something
but
offensive
the, but those,
in them.
Those creative people throw enough adult themes right. in there to keep everybody. You know, I was at the beginning of this, they showed a trailer for the new Ninja Turtles movie and mm-hmm. Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
And it's like, that was kind of dumb because I understand that, like, okay, yeah. we're all looking at animated films, but like those two coming up,
those are the ones that.
Amazing.
But yeah. they're also the ones that writing wise will do exactly what I was looking for in this film.
Sure.
Those movies will both have things.
That
for Spider-Verse
everybody. Is going to have so many spider cameos. It's going to be ridiculous.
And that's the thing, too. So in Spider-Verse, I think that's a good example because Spider-Verse is one of those where you can freeze frame and look at all the things from different
yeah.
comics, from different movies, all the Easter eggs. But there's a story and
right.
there's characterization.
Mm-hmm.
This movie is so hollow, and I think the word I kind of landed on is soulless.
Yeah.
This movie does not have a soul. This was genetically engineered to make the most money
mm-hmm.
possible. It was not... engineered.
Like Alestra.
And so that's the thing where I'm watching it. And
like Alestra, it's completely forgotten to time.
Yeah.
Right? They don't
no,
use
yeah,
it anymore.
No, yeah, well, there's a reason.
Yeah.
They're not...
Actually, it didn't do that.
The anal leakage?
No, it didn't do
that. Like, it didn't?
No, like if you... There's not very many double-blind studies that were conducted by anyone other than Procter & Gamble, but the handful that were basically said, it does a certain amount of that, and if you use this other food additive... It does the same amount. It's
not.
Definitely
Night
became
shows
like
ran
a,
with it as a
yes.
headline.
Come on,
yeah.
man! It's anal leakage.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It was on the packaging.
That was yeah. The, yeah. So, and this movie's not without its merits. So, with all those things being said, as a gamer that grew
yeah.
up on NES,
this is I would say enjoyed... Mario was like I remember getting an NES system when I was 7,
yeah.
give or take, I guess.
And I was 2, so we were probably playing around the same
oh.
time. You know,
and
I was
Mario,
almost 3.
Yeah, Mario was it.
And right. I was in college.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. And this was just about a couple years after prom. So
yeah,
it was
yeah
just...
right. Got laid after prom.
Yeah.
So, but
I
but,
wish.
But I had fun with the Easter eggs. I had
yeah,
fun,
they're fine.
You know, looking at them. The music cues are all from the
I
different
the
Mario
score.
Games.
Score was good.
Yeah, yeah
they, I like the way they brought
I
in the
tell
music.
You, yeah. I wasn't taken aback by Chris Pratt's voice acting. I thought he was going to do some weird voice, but there were,
they did a good job of
he
explaining
didn't sound
it away.
Like Chris Pratt.
Yeah,
he had moments, right? It's his voice, right? He's going to have
yeah, but yeah, like he didn't just come in and do Chris Pratt.
No,
like,
I will say that the voice with all the hubbub about it before the movie was like one of the least offensive things about this movie. It
yeah.
just it was a non-issue.
Who was Luigi?
Charlie Day.
So how much did he get paid for this movie?
I hope a lot for his 2 scenes.
I was saying, because he's barely
thing,
in.
Man.
That's a
the,
weird Super Mario Brothers.
Did,
and we take
gonna,
the brothers out of the movie.
I was going to say the exact same thing. So what they did was instead of making Peach the damsel in distress like she is in the
right.
games, they made her a badass and they made Luigi the damsel in distress. But why? Why make either of them? I mean, I was really looking forward to the dynamic between Mario and Luigi and they
well,
sidelined him.
What they should have done was called it Mario Brothers and then the sequel, because you know there will be one.
Super.
That's Super Mario
yeah.
Brothers, right?
Sure.
Like, and then you go through and then, you know, that's...
See, for the second movie, they have to take an obscure Japanese game and replace all the characters with Mario models and call it Mario 2.
Jumpman.
That's a deep cut for video
yeah.
games.
Yeah.
That's what they did in Mario 2. They took a Japanese game called Doki Doki Panic
yeah.
and they replaced all the character models with Mario and called it Super Mario 2.
Yeah. It's
the
bad.
Whole game is
Super
just
Mario 2 is real bad.
It has its charms. I don't think it's bad. It's different, though. Like, Mario 1 and 3 feel like
yeah.
you're playing... a game and its sequel that has evolved a little bit
yeah.
and then 2 plays because it is a different game it
right.
just it has different
can we talk about the wizard instead
first like appearance of Mario 3
the debut of Mario 3
yeah Shigeru Miyamoto who is the creator of Mario he's a producer on this movie which is cool so Nintendo hasn't made a Mario movie in 30 years because of that live action one that was
could you
very,
imagine could
very
you imagine having a property a movie no offense Kevin so bad that we had
I'm
to
offended.
Wait I don't doubt that we had to wait 30 years
yeah.
to get another one
so I saw Miyamoto's name as a producer on this movie I'm like oh yeah he is overseeing and I think ultimately that is what leads to artistically the downfall of this movie. Now it's making $1 trillion. Yeah. So, right, genetically engineered in a lab doesn't mean that it's unsuccessful in making money.
Right. There's lots of movies that aren't very good that make a lot of money. Transformers 7.
I was telling a friend, Transformers, you know, do you like those movies? No. They make billions of dollars.
Billions of dollars.
So they played everything as safe as possible with their IP. Yeah. They made a movie that will entertain kids, which is wonderful. Wonderful for kids. Nothing against that at all. But they played it safe, played it for kids, and Miyamoto was not going to let anything like alter whatever.
Do you think he has that level of...
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Well, I mean, I'm sure there's...
creative control where he can be like, no.
I mean, Miyamoto created Mario, and he's still at the company. I mean, he's a pretty big deal.
But
I'm sure there's other people at Nintendo that have control too, but like... I'm just saying, he's the producer.
That's rare, right? Like, it's rare that a creator of a property has that level of creative control. Well, when, I mean,
he created when Mario was a trading card company.
That's fair.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, but so many of these big corporations just, you know, like, thanks.
Yeah, Stan Lee didn't have creative control of Spider-Man.
I wonder if it's a difference between American culture and Japanese culture.
Oh, maybe. Like, maybe that's very true.
But they respect him. Like, when you say Miyamoto, he is obvious. I mean, he created Mario. He is one of the, they look up to him and idolize him.
I mean,
him.
Their company exists because that's of this true. Character. And this is, I was going to say arguably, but I don't know that it's arguable, the most popular, well-known video game character ever created. I mean,
it has to be.
I think
Pac-Man, but
maybe.
But Mario's lived in a lot more incarnations and has had a lot more success from game to game to game.
He's a construction worker. He's a referee. Yeah. He's a tennis player.
But to that point, though, like there was the live action Super Mario, live action / cartoon Super Mario TV show.
Yeah.
Oh, right. The bookends.
Captain Lou Albano played Mario.
Absolutely.
Ding. The Mario. Thank you very much.
Some younger YouTuber, and I really like his videos, but he was talking about Easter eggs for this movie because I was going to say, how many did I catch? And I'm watching, and he goes, and a super obscure reference is the Mario Brothers cartoon theme song. I'm like, obscure? Thank you. How old are you? Like, if you grew up in this era.
Right. But I mean,
that's only going to get worse.
It is. I know.
But it hurt me when he said obscure reference. I go, that's like the reference.
So you had that. You have, I mean, comic books. I don't think they got as bad as The Simpsons, where they put out their own, like, musical album. But
I put a lot of stuff, though.
Yeah, they've launched boxes. Anything
I think Mario is the most recognizable
popular. You put that face on it, people know who
everyone knows.
Yes.
You know, another thing that I was thinking about, too, you mentioned comic books. I did have Mario comic books.
Sure,
I had those.
Sure.
I had all this stuff growing up. This saying this movie's for kids would be like saying, well, comic books are for kids. You can't make a good movie. Comic book movies are great now.
Well, okay.
They started for kids, right?
That's true.
I'm just saying these people are making the same argument as anything that you're like, oh, that's for kids, so it just gets to be dumb and you don't criticize it. But we do it all the time with everything. It's just video games are a newer medium to be elevated.
Comic books also, unfortunately, aren't for kids anymore.
Well,
unfortunately.
And video games aren't for kids either, right?
I don't disagree. I think that all the companies have tried to do like YA stuff and get into like the graphic novel, because I think that kind of blew up, right? I mean, you've got kids of that age where they were reading like just like graphic novels.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's always been this thought process in the world of comic books that there's people that will read them, but they don't want to get on that treadmill.
Sure.
I got to buy them month after the month. Right. So like you put out the graphic novels and people are like, I read that and I'm good now.
Yeah. I'm okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I think that all of these forms of entertainment, comic books, video games, they changed honestly, and this is a weird reference, but even wrestling, like there was the point in wrestling and all these different things where they realized that they couldn't do the same goofy, like Hulk Hogan stuff anymore.
It's Shakespearean now.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but right. Maybe like Shakespeare's brother or third cousin twice removed. But they
Cletus,
aged,
Cletus yeah, Shakespeare.
Cletus Shakespeare. But they aged their product up to gear towards an older audience. And I think that is what's happened with everything. So a character like Mario can get left in the dust, you know, because he's not super dark and edgy character, right? But there is something to be said about maybe giving this movie a little bit of substance.
That's ultimately what this felt like. You know what this felt like? I was watching was an hour and a half long movie trailer.
I gotta tell you, though,
every scene was a movie trailer scene. Yeah. It was just jumping from scene to scene.
An hour and a half worked. When I saw when I saw the running time, I was like, oh.
Thank God.
Yeah, no kidding. I guess let's just start off with the plot.
We're Mario and Luigi are two brothers that they're starting their own plumbing company, and that's they do this ad, and of course they're both
left working for someone else to start Super Mario Brothers Plumbing.
And the ad, they're doing the voices like, "It's a me, Mario. Don't do that. Don't do that."
Joe's been waiting, not because it's a Mario movie, but he's like, "I can make the voice.
I can do the voice."
And the song is the intro to the cartoon show.
Correct. Did you know that in the early 1900s, Italians weren't considered white?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That makes sense, because if you're from Italy, you're not white. You have...
Well, we're white.
Oh.
I mean...
But if you're from Italy, you usually have darker skin.
As soon as he became a cop, he's officially white.
But from Italy, people have darker skin. It's not like if you go from Italy...
But northern Italy, they don't. If you're on the southern tip, sure. Yeah. But if northern Italy is no different than,
Yeah, it just blew my mind. I was just like, what?
There's a lot of stuff back then that... people don't really talk about anymore. Yeah. It's just like Irish and Polish and Italians. That's just, we're just all part of the same thing. But there was a time.
But Irish people were considered white. They were just considered
translucent
trash.
Oh, sure. Yeah. But there was a degree of racism towards Italians and Irish and Poland and all that stuff that doesn't really
you look back on it and you see it through the prism of, it was probably I'm Irish, so we're better than Italians.
Right.
And nope. It's they didn't even think Italians were white.
Right. Now that it's just punchlines, right?
Right.
And we all just roll with it. We're just all part of the mob.
Yeah.
It's the song from
But we're not going to do that voice just in case you are part of the mob.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Yeah.
But this is great. They use the Super Mario, the theme song for the Super Mario Super Show.
Is the guy playing the game in the background wearing the Lou Albano Mario outfit?
He's not. So that's Charles Martinet, who's been voicing Mario since Mario 64. Actually, he did Mario Teaches Typing, but the first one that people will recognize when they did the voice, the wahoo and all that stuff, that's Charles Martinet. He's been a voice actor.
I said don't do that voice.
I can't make the wahoo noise?
No.
I don't think the wahoo stereo is... I've never heard an Italian go wahoo.
Because to be clear, the voice actor's not Italian, so...
Oh, that son of a bitch.
He took your job. Sorry, Joe. But he's great. He's been the voice of Mario for over 30 years. So that is from one of the original games he's...
Super Jumpman or whatever?
No, it's from
When he's playing Jumpman.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. That's the game.
I think
playing.
It's from, it could be Wrecking Crew, I think, where it's just a construction outfit that he's wearing.
Okay.
But he also voices Mario's dad. So there's the two, Charles Martinet is both those characters, which is great because one of the big complaints from fans was you have the voice of Mario for 30 years.
Right.
And you hired Chris Pratt, non-Italian, and who usually in voice acting just does Chris Pratt.
Right.
So they were frustrated, but they gave him the two voices, and that's at least a nice,
good for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they...
They're at Little Mac's Punch-Out.
Which I thought was a good little... I like that, where he's got all the glass, Glass Jaw Joe on the wall, things like that. They can't call him Mike Tyson, because then you have to pay Mike.
No, it's Mr. Dream.
Is that what they call him now?
When Mike Tyson got in trouble, they started printing, it was Mr. Dream's Punch-Out.
That's hilarious.
Cartridge on NES, yeah.
I wonder which one's... got to be. Mike Tyson's got to be worth more.
Oh, for sure.
Got to be.
And...
People love a rapist.
I'm telling you.
It depends.
It's a redemption story.
Yeah.
Depends if you have the 5-screw or the 3-screw.
What are you talking about?
Are we still talking about the rape?
I did walk right into that one. So with Nintendo games, in order to cut costs, they started replacing their cartridges with only 3 screws to hold the back down.
Oh, really?
And so the 5 screws are more rare.
Interesting. I did not know that. I got to tell you, as a guy that collects comic books, I can accept weird collectibles, right?
Yeah.
And now I have just started to see pop up graded video game packages.
Oh, it's
right.
Yeah,
and VHS packages in the shrink wrap graded in the hard plastic.
VHS ones are hilarious.
And I was like, what are you doing?
Anything that
how much you want for that graded copy of Halloween though? Let me just ask that question.
You know how the price is set for these things? Someone's got to be willing to buy it.
That's the bottom line.
So you know what? If someone wants to buy a $20,000 VHS, you're not ripping off some single mother trying to feed her family.
Sure,
it's you know what? If some guy has $20,000 to drop on that, it's a free country, right?
On a first print of Batman 89.
And hopefully they want all the stuff that Joe's got.
Those bastards.
Better not grade that Monster Squad VHS I got you. I see that thing on eBay. Oh.
Well, so I shouldn't sell the Doc Brown one.
What's the Doc Brown?
You got me. I like Doc Brown.
Oh, the pop.
For my
yeah.
birthday.
Yeah.
I don't. I still have that. For record. Yeah. So they do, you know, and then of course
Spike
they go to...
is from Wrecking Crew. Spike, the bat, like they grew up with Marius Bolium. So Spike grew up in Wrecking Crew, and he's the inspiration for Fix-It Felix. God, talk about a great video game movie.
That's true. Yeah.
Wreck-It Ralph does everything right that this movie gets wrong. Easter eggs, cameos galore everywhere. It has
Isn't
so
Mario
much...
in that?
Not Mario. Bowser is at the
Bowser's in it. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Sonic is on a billboard. Anyway,
not anymore.
Yeah, well, he's got his own thing. So, but that's the Q-Bert.
Yeah, Q-Bert. Yeah.
That is a movie that has all those Easter eggs, but also has a story. Yeah, it has so much heart to it. All the stuff Ralph is going through, a great lesson. I mean, that is a beautiful example
of
a story
great video game movie
that can be packed with Easter eggs. So I just don't buy it. The whole thing is for kids. They're all for kids.
Right. This is, we've said before, this is for young kids.
Right.
This is like, you know.
But who decides that, right? It's not like someone said, oh, well, this is Mario, so that's a little kid. It's like, no, why? Did they decide
to
make it just
that's
for little
fair.
Kids when
that's
the fans are 30 and 40 years old? Yeah. So I forgot about Wreck-It Ralph, but it's like right there.
Yeah, right there. Yeah. Mario's dad is not happy that Mario has quit this job and he's dragging his brother with him. So they get a call. They go to this house, and of course, you know.
Loved this scene.
This is a good
this
scene.
This is one of the most clever things in the movie. When
the Three Stooges short.
It very much is just the Three Stooges, but it works.
No, but they turned the way they turned the camera and made it into a side-scroller. That was really clever.
Oh, when they're running to the thing.
Oh, when they're running,
when they're running to the job. The movie.
We were talking about when they're working on the plumbing in the bathroom.
Oh, and, no.
Like,
no,
that's why I was like, that's the scene?
No, when they get the call to go to the job.
I like that. That
they
was
turn the camera from 3D to 2D, and they're going over things just like you would in a Mario game. Yep. That's clever. And when I saw that, I'm like, okay.
We might be in for something here.
That was probably the most clever thing they did in the entire movie.
It was really well done.
Really, really good. But yeah, they get in, and it's a whole.
It's very much a Three Stooges. Gag.
It's like the dog from The Secret Life of Pets. That dog looked just
but also like
I think it's like how Disney used to like trace over characters
from other movies. It's like they copy and pasted the character model.
Is that an Illumination
smaller.
Movie?
Yeah.
Well, speaking of the trailer for that Illumination movie Migration.
Yeah. Oh,
I didn't get it. No.
Oh, you didn't get the
or maybe I just came later. Whatever,
I did not get it.
So Migration. I spent the whole thing like thinking it was going to be Duck Hunt. Let me see if I can find it.
You thought it was a fake trailer for something?
No, I thought they just had another Nintendo movie in the pipeline.
Which would make sense, though, right? Like, I mean,
that's
the problem,
hilarious.
You've got, you've got Kirby, you've got Zelda, you've got Metroid. Metroid would be a fun...
Yeah, Metroid would be an awesome space... Okay, let's preface this. Mario would be an awesome movie, too. Could be.
Metroid could be. So could Zelda.
Make it like Alien. Metroid would be
okay. You don't want to go super dark with it. Kevin, these are for kids. We just got done saying that.
You could do it in a way. Wreck-It Ralph had that Alien space.
Which, I got to tell you, I rewatched Wreck-It Ralph maybe six, 7 months ago. That's a scary ass scene. Like if your kid is like a little skittish, like when they start popping out of those eggs, no thank you.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
It's such a good movie.
It is. So they kind of screw this up and they're down on their luck very morose. And then there's a report that there's a flood in Midtown in Brooklyn. And I was like, well, Spider-Man can take care of it. Like that's where Spider-Man lives. Actually, he does not. He lives in Queens. Captain America.
So why'd you say all that?
Captain America's in Brooklyn. Because I just realized it as I was saying it.
Oh.
Tell me you wouldn't think that was a Duck Hunt trailer.
I can't say you're wrong.
I can see it.
Like I just thought the whole time I was like, they're going to do Duck Hunt?
Yeah.
Like,
good for them?
Yeah.
But
it's not Duck Hunt.
Oh, darn.
Dang it. So they go, they find, you know, they're trying to fix this one pipe and they don't do it. And they just happen to stumble upon a green tube.
This is so dumb.
This is very dumb.
Like, even by kids' movie standards, this is dumb.
It's a deus ex machina to get them
into
Mario
World. There's
just no
explanation at all for why this world even exists. It's just like, oh, there's this fantasy world. Here's a pipe that gets you there.
That nobody knows about.
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
so they make the sound, and of course they get sucked into the pipe. And I do like, you know, as a kid that has played Mario, I never played 2 because it sucks. 1, 3, in all the Mario games, there's no references to how the tubes work.
No.
So I did like seeing, like, oh, okay, like, just the way, the whole intricate setup of the tubes and, like, the whole thing. That was fun. So they get split. Mario goes one way, Luigi
meets
goes...
Toad, voiced by Keegan-Michael Key.
That's who I thought was supposed to be... I did not realize that Luigi was Charlie Day. I thought Toad was Charlie Day.
So...
Because Keegan-Michael Key is doing something.
When the casting was announced and I got this screwed up for the longest time, I also thought Charlie Day was Toad because he's doing a voice that sounds like Charlie Day doing his screamy thing. It's very confusing.
Right.
I get it.
And it took me till the end of the movie to figure out that Peach was Anya Taylor-Joy.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Because her
she
voice is
just like Anya Taylor-Joy.
I thought she sounded like Britta from Community.
Oh, nice.
Like, I was like,
I couldn't figure it out.
For the I was just thinking about talking about voice actors.
Usually
not
I'm
doing...
really good about like if a celebrity is doing like a voiceover work, I was like, that's George Clooney.
And I like her. But
I do too.
But I was like, she's not, I mean, she's talking.
She's talking.
It's just, and they've been doing this since the beginning. We all know since Disney movies.
Did the celebrity start? Is it Lion King?
Aladdin with Robin Williams.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, which was about a few years earlier. No, I mean, they've been doing it for longer. I mean, Fox and the Hound had Kurt Russell, but he was a Disney guy.
But you
guy,
can't
I
tell
guess.
This. You can't tell that's Kurt Russell.
You can't?
No.
Really?
He's young.
I haven't watched him.
He's,
okay.
he's a lot. So
but
he
was a Disney guy, so that kind of like. But
who's the other? Who's
but the other guy was someone too.
Is it Mel Gibson? No?
No, he's in Pocahontas.
Oh, you're right.
Mel Gibson
is
John Smith, right?
Yes.
Matthew Broderick was who was Quasimodo? Was it Matthew Broderick?
No, Matthew Broderick was.
I know he was
Simba,
but
excuse me, I'm John Smith.
Who voiced Quasimodo? Was he a famous actor
in the Disney cartoon?
Movie?
Was that Jason Alexander?
No, he was the gargoyle.
Oh, it's Mickey Rooney in Fox and the Hound.
Yes, Mickey. Yeah, so we're talking about the thing with celebrity voices, and it's not that they haven't been doing it for a long time because. Going back that they have gotten celebrity voice actors, but I feel like celebrity voice actors still used to do the voices.
Yeah.
And now it seems
it is
like
Jason Alexander and Demi Moore.
As what?
Jason Alexander is Quasimodo and Demi Moore is Esmeralda.
Oh, but
oh, weird.
He plays that gargoyle, right? He's the funny gargoyle.
Oh, well that's so strange because
he does Quasimodo and the gargoyle?
It doesn't say who Quasimodo is. I just saw Jason Alexander.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh,
Quasimodo is the main guy. Maybe he wasn't.
Tom Hulce.
Well, there you
Tom
go.
Holt.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He was, wasn't he Amadeus?
Rock Me.
Is that right?
And Amadeus.
Did he play Amadeus?
Yeah.
Oh.
And he's the ne'er-do-well brother in Parenthood.
Oh, really?
Pretty sure.
I haven't seen
I love that
forever.
Word.
But ne'er-do-well?
The way that they like condense never do well into a like a great
into a single word. Yeah,
just,
right.
That's a great
and
word.
Celebrity voice actors in cartoons, the first one, like there are names you know, like Jim Backus is Mr. Magoo, but
right.
like I don't know that you really.
But star power to like
Bob Newhart and Rescuers.
Yeah, that's
oh,
a good
call.
One. Yeah.
I mean, he had.
We said Robin Williams in Aladdin is like.
I think that's kind of the first modern. You know, but the Rescuers. I mean, Bob Newhart and was it Zsa Gabor or Ava Gabor? I get them mixed up. But and Bob Newhart, that dude had a huge hit sitcom.
Yeah,
like
oh,
I mean
yeah.
that. You know, like it'd be no different than putting Sheldon from The Big Bang Theory in a movie right now, which they did.
They
right?
did. Like, yeah, like an alien one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so. That's the first time I really remember. I mean, you had Buddy Hackett and Little Mermaid, but
who was Buddy Hackett and Little Mermaid?
He's the seagull.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh. But
Scuttle.
But thank you. They're just going to reuse his dialogue for the new one.
Oh, they're not because it's Awkwafina.
Is it really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, fun. So, but
they've been doing it for a long time.
She can't use a Blackson anymore.
Oh, that makes sense.
She doesn't do that anymore. I would be interested.
Oh, she got rid of it? She doesn't do it?
Yeah, because she took so much heat for it from a cultural appropriation standpoint. And so it will be interesting to see. I'm assuming that there's a sequel to Crazy Rich Asians in the pipeline.
Oh,
and she does that voice in that movie.
Oh, that's true.
Because that was kind of her
trademark.
You know
what? She doesn't have it in Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
Or Redfield.
Well, in her act,
she's a better actor, too.
She's doing more serious roles, too. But so the thing is, they've been doing it for a long time with casting celebrities and voices, but I just feel like they used to, especially when we're growing up, and because we have examples like Robin Williams and people really going at
but
it. But
I will also say the difference in was you got Robin Williams, but that was it, right? Like
that's true.
Like now it's like the whole cast is
are names.
That's true.
Like, it used to be like you would cast
one,
like the main character would be somebody famous so they could make the rounds in the press. And
then
now,
voice actors were
and then the
right.
rest were voice actors. And now it's like the whole, you know, the top 10 people in the movie are
names. I feel
like
that jumped from Aladdin to Lion King, right? Because it's Nathan Lane, James Earl Jones, Matthew Broderick.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Jeremy Iron. And Jonathan Taylor Thomas was a massive star at that point. Like, he was
Yeah,
because
Home Improvement was huge, and he was on all the Tiger Beats.
Oh, yeah.
I think I would disagree with Nathan Lane at that point in his career.
Oh, sure.
Like, they basically, they cast him and the other guy
because of Guys and Dolls.
Because of Guys and Dolls. Oh, they were in Guys and Dolls together. It was
Mr. Corelli.
A huge revival on Broadway.
That makes sense.
And so they were like, oh, we like you two as this. We'll pick you up and put you in the movie.
Put you
but
here.
Nobody knew who Nathan Lane was.
Is the Birdcage right after that? Is that kind of like the one that put him on?
It's around the same time.
Yeah,
for
it's
sure.
right around then. Okay. Yeah.
With Robin Williams as well.
Yeah.
I just miss when.
They originally wanted him to play the different.
Flip-flop it?
They wanted to flip-flop it. And Robin Williams was like, let's do it the other way.
Interesting.
And Nathan Lane was like, okay, I get the showier part. Yeah. Right on.
Done.
Yeah.
So I do. This isn't a problem with just this movie, but I do miss when the animated films used to have more voice actors.
Sure.
Oh, Kevin, for people that listen to this in Florida, can you delete any references to the Birdcage? I think we just committed a felony.
Good thing that we're stationed here.
Yeah, right.
So anyway, but yeah, it is a lot. But this is
thank
all.
Thank God we're in the blue state of Missouri.
You're right. For now, it is not illegal to podcast.
For now.
Your freedom of speech.
Yeah, just wait.
But.
To be like pirate.
Ron DeSantis did put a toll booth in front of my neighborhood.
It's weird how that works, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. How's that Disney thing working, Ron? You dink.
So yeah. Anyway, but most of them are just but Charlie Day and Keegan-Michael Key. I mean, they are
those
doing
guys actually though. They do voices,
right?
Right. Like Chris Pratt doesn't really do a voice. He's got the. But I will say, like I said, in this one, he's not doing the Chris Pratt thing. There is a little bit of nuance to. Not to his performance, but he doesn't sound like Star-Lord.
Right.
Know? Like, there are obviously, like I said, you're going to hear inflections that's like, okay, I know who that is.
I thought Fred Armisen as Cranky Kong was terrible. Whatever that old Bernie Sanders accent he was doing.
I wonder if they wanted Bernie Sanders and they were just like, we can't get him. Because
Bernie
Looks like Bernie Sanders. Like, even the way the character design, even his movements, like, resemble Bernie Sanders. I was like, man, could you imagine they were like, can we get Bernie Sanders?
The sold?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Trust me.
And
the way people voted for him, it's not going to matter.
And I thought the writing of the Donkey Kong stuff with Seth Rogen was bad.
And I do like that he said, he goes, I'll do it. But I don't do a voice.
Yeah, he at least admits it. He goes, I know I'm just talking. So
it did get a weird laugh when he laughed, when Donkey Kong laughed. Yeah. It got a weird reaction in the theater. Yeah, people laughed at that. I was like, that's not the right.
I think that was the only thing that made me kind of laugh in the movie is when they're having their moment about their dads, and Mario's oh, my dad thinks I'm a loser, and Donkey Kong's like, oh.
He's right.
He's a genius.
Yeah.
Like, I was like.
See, that actually had some bite to it. That was good. Yeah. That star made me laugh.
Oh, like
star,
the little flame?
Dread?
That was pretty good. Can somebody shut him up?
Now I'm like, that is what you'd expect. We're like, for the parents, like the kids aren't going to think anything of it. But
he's
like, I'm just waiting for the swift release of death or whatever. I'm like, oh my God. And I was like, me too. That's the character I'm most related with.
I can understand But yeah, so they get swept up and
Luigi goes down one pipe to basically, it looks like haunted Luigi's mansion.
That's what I thought that they were going to do.
That was a fun Easter egg and reference. He's got his bag and the flashlight, but they didn't. He just ends up in like a graveyard. The skulls from the movie. Again, lots of really cool references of the characters. Skeleton turtles that you would jump on. They would come back
together.
The bane
of my existence.
That was kind of a scary scene.
It was good.
That was a good scare. They take him to Bowser, and then Mario is in the mushroom kingdom, and Toad brings him. He's like, my brother's lost, and he's like, I'll bring you to the princess, and she'll.
And then they hook up, not hook up.
Oh,
but
finally!
I know, it's about
for
time.
All these years,
good lord! I do like the little joke where the two little mushroom guys,
toads,
are like, nope, she's not in this castle. You got to go to another one.
See that?
That's
was
a good little
that
because
clever,
that was the whole premise of that damn game. It's like, you think you got it? Nope, we're doing
I like
it again.
They're messing with Mario, and they're like, your princess is in another castle. Nope. Also, this is what I was thinking. I'm like, okay, I get it that the Princess Peach was adopted by the Toads, and they made her the princess. Kind of a weird thing for an outsider to come in, but whatever, she's the princess.
She's
and,
very political
but I'm
savvy.
Like, but I'm like, their army is terrible. Their security is terrible. Mario shows up, he could be anyone and be like, my my brother's missing, and he gets in and he kills the princess.
Yeah,
and takes over. Like, that's it. It's just, they're horrible security.
I did think it was, I thought they were trying to, like, allude that Peach is from Earth.
She's not human. She's like, you're human? She found that weird. Like, but you know, in the movie, in the 93 movie, she hatches from an egg.
No.
Yes.
Are you serious? Dude, who plays her in the movie? Anybody have noticed?
Oh, no, but she looks like a human. I'm just saying, like, her origin is kind of like she's not quite human. I mean, if you look at her, Mario and Luigi, which is also weird because, like, they're humans, but all the other humans in the world look different than they do. Like, they did a good job.
That's the way humans work.
No, but they look like video game characters, and then the other human models look more taller, and they have the proportions. Like, it's just weird that, like,
they're very stereotypically built like Italians.
No, but like Mario characters, they did a great job with the character models, but it's interesting. Okay, Wreck-It Ralph. All sure. The Fix-It Felix people look like Fix-It Felix animation styles.
I got
they
you.
All, right? They
little,
live
like,
in
Lego,
that world.
Not Legos, little, but what
are they? They're all smaller and they have the right proportions. Mm-hmm. It's interesting that in this game, they're like, okay, Mario and Luigi have to look exactly like Nintendo has them. And they're like, Illumination, the other people are your Illumination characters.
Yeah. So I see what you're
they
saying.
They just kind of miss, like, I get that they have to look like Mario, but they could have made them all kind of look like Mario characters. But no, they're from the Grinch. They pulled in all the background characters.
Well, they make these Illumination movies for not tons of money.
Yeah.
I think that's part of how they do it. I mean, like,
and they also
the budget
make,
on this is $100 million.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
I mean, like, given what Disney, you know, honestly, I'm curious as to what the Mutant Mayhem thing. I've watched that trailer more often than I care to admit because
it looks
amazing.
Like Spider-Verse.
Looks incredible.
They're doing the thing like Mitchell's vs. Machine, yep. Which obviously was the same guys, but Puss in Boots has that different frenetic.
Does Puss in Boots have that animation style?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It has the Spider-Verse style.
They didn't go with the Shrek style, huh?
No. I mean, it's like CG, but it has the almost like cel-shaded.
I got to tell you, that Puss in Boots movie
is good.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
It's really good. Yeah. Better than it has any right to be.
Yeah. I remember people saying they were like, it just seemed like such an afterthought cash grab.
No, it's really good.
And then people were like, holy cow, that was really good.
It's one of the better animated films last year. For real.
I would
like,
agree
check
with that.
It out. It's fun.
But yeah. So
Turtles going to be cool.
Turtles, I mean, we in our friend group, we were just like, it's funny. They sound like teenagers, which we're not used to at this point. Like, they actually sound
they're
like
teenage
kids.
Mutant
yeah, right.
Interesting how that works.
Right.
So meanwhile, we should say, you know, the opening scene is like the scene from the trailer. Everyone's seen it. But Bowser is trying to take over all the kingdoms.
Yeah.
So he takes out the Penguin Kingdom. He is now trying to come for the Mushroom Kingdom. But in kind of a weird, it's not that much of a surprise because the games are all kind of like this with him capturing the princess. But he very much like, I just want to marry her. And it was a kind of a weird, like, oh, well, that's what we're doing. Okay, I'm going to force her into marriage. All right. And the other thing was, someone's like, what if she doesn't accept your proposal? He's like, well, then I'm going to kill everybody.
Right.
And then so when he gets there, I'm kind of like, why didn't you just kill everybody? You didn't say you're going to, like, force her.
I mean, now, we didn't want to get canceled.
Well, that's true. That's fair. But it is, and that's Jack Black,
Jack
who
Black.
I think is doing doing a voice.
He's one of the saving graces of this film. I don't like everything about the writing, but like Jack Black,
he's
fine. He's showing up. He's doing his Jack Black thing.
I wonder if he was like, look, I'll do this role, but I need two rock and roll solos.
No, he didn't want to sing.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
And they made him sing?
He improvised that Peaches thing.
Oh, dang.
And they got him to, because they're like, we've got Jack Black. I think they wanted him to, and he was like, I don't really want to sing in this, but I don't know why. But
doing like an Axl Rose impression.
Yeah. But he's trying to get to the Mushroom Kingdom to propose to Peach, and apparently if she says no, he's going to burn the place down. But he ends up later, he's just so in love with her, he's like, I'll kill Toad if you don't. And then
she's like, okay, fine.
And then she gives in and does the whole thing of like, I don't know, it just felt kind of weird. Maybe it's because it moved so fast, but it was weird when he shows up, and then he's like, I'm going to kill Toad. She's like, okay, I'll marry you. And then it's like,
and now all hell breaks loose, right? And that, so Mario ends up fighting Bowser, and they somehow get, Mario is wearing the what suit is the bear suit, right?
It's a tanuki.
What's that?
I always
just called it a bear.
It's a Japanese, maybe like folklore or something.
Okay.
A lot of people have been calling it the raccoon suit, but that's not right, because when he's a raccoon, he's got his Mario hat with ears sticking out of it.
Right.
The tanuki suit is what it is, a bear type creature.
Okay. Basically, he can fly.
It allows him to fly without stopping. The raccoon suit in the games, you have to run and jump, and you get that limited flight.
Sure.
And then you you know, coast or whatever. Right. But so there's a training sequence. So Mario, obviously, he's from Brooklyn. He doesn't have power-ups. He doesn't have all this stuff. So Princess Peach is like, you have to train. And
I thought this wasn't bad.
The thing that frustrates me about this, and again, I know kids movie, but I'm like, the princess has nothing else to do but to wait 24 hours or 48 hours. Like, it was weird when it went to night and it went to morning. And I'm like,
and she's still there.
She just has nothing else to do. She's, her kingdom is at war. She should be prepping the army. And she literally can leave with just her and Mario. The guards aren't protecting her. They don't know who this guy is.
Nope.
And she can just sit there and sleep as, like, no one's worried about her. No one should say, princess, you need to be doing this other. I mean, her kingdom is like strategizing, her war general's there. I don't know.
What does she need to do?
So from a writing perspective, I just thought it was weird. But they do the I Need a Hero, which has been like way overused.
From Shrek.
The
needle drops in this movie are bad.
They're real bad.
And it irritates me when a movie does this, when a movie takes a song that either was from or is very associated with another movie.
Right.
And
like
so,
Shrek 2.
And yeah, and they do this a lot, like three times, because like Holding Out for a Hero is...
Thunderstruck was the go-kart scene, right?
Yeah, and Thunderstruck. I mean, now, I love the Thunderstruck scene in Battleship, but
sure.
I will give them a pass on that one because nobody saw Battleship. So and with the exception of that scene, you are right to have not seen Battleship. But
absolutely.
But like, but Hold Out for a Hero is from Footloose, and oh man, what were some of the
but like Shrek was 20 something years ago when they did that. It was fine in that, but
and it was tongue in cheek there. Like they were, it was more of a reference to Footloose,
right? Because they're doing a little, they're doing a montage thing. But I mean, we have just heard it in several different things.
Oh yeah,
it was just in Shazam, but then it was just in a TV show or something someone was referencing.
It was in like Shazam.
Shazam 2. It was just in. Yeah,
that's how much I remember that from that movie. Also, already on digital, by the way.
Yeah,
yeah,
not real fast. 3 weeks or whatever, yeah. But anyway, but he does this training montage, and I did think it was a little weird because he's basically dying. I'm just trying to figure out how, like, the
He's losing his power, right? But, so he gets a power up, then he gets hit, then it goes away.
But this
away.
Is another weird thing about translating the games to the movies, and I know that this is getting a little bit more hypercritical, but in the games, when you get a mushroom, you turn big, like they show in here. Yeah. I thought that was clever and powerful. You get a fire flower, and then when you get hit, you turn back to little, right? You know. But then if you get hit again, you die.
That is correct.
He's a human from the real world, remember? He doesn't live in the Mushroom Kingdom. He gets hit, and he should die. And I just thought it was weird that he was dying over and over in the training sequence.
It's like Groundhog Day.
Yeah, but he came back.
Resurrection
so,
Man.
So yeah, I was just trying to figure out, could they have, like, maybe when a human goes there, they live by I'm, you know, what are the rules of the people?
Yeah, give us some idea of what's,
That's the part where, again, everything this movie is just done for gags, for Easter eggs.
Yeah.
If you just had a little bit of writing, just a little bit, to explain, hey, you've took this whatever, whatever, now you're in our world with our rules. You can't die, don't worry, but you just turn back, or you, like, have to sleep for 5 minutes or whatever. You know, I don't know.
I mean, I'd be knocking myself out all the time. Well, I did that already. Yeah. I'm all right. I
but
don't
he
to do that again.
But he basically like, oh, and this is the other thing where she's like, I can only help you if you beat this because, you know, that means you're ready. And the next morning she's like, you tried.
Close enough.
What?
You got fairly close.
I don't know. It was just a little weird the way
I have no recollection of anything that you're
but
talking about.
Basically, Bowser shows up and he lays waste to Mushroom Kingdom. Mario ends up getting the suit.
I'm sorry, Tanuki.
Thank you. Gets that suit and gets the infamous.
Well, they go
giant...
to they go to Donkey Kong before she gets captured.
We got 8 minutes.
You know, Mr. Blue Sky. That's the
that
other
was
one
the other one.
That,
where
you
I was,
see,
that was in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Chris Pratt's
Guardians.
In Guardians.
It was
a
very high profile episode of Doctor Who.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so, yeah,
interesting. Yeah. So, okay.
But,
so they go to they
that's
go to
a huge
Donkey
part
Kingdom.
Of it, right?
They go to the Donkey Kingdom to get the army, and Mario has to fight Donkey Kong as they do.
And here's the thing, and this is the other thing, just about the writing in this film. So in a different movie, Cranky Kong says, "You have to fight my son to be able to get my army." Okay, the night before, Peach is talking to Mario. I'm nervous. I don't know if I've got to do this. Okay, you can do it. Whatever, a little talk. The next morning, the arena's filling up. The crowd's filling. No, in this movie, he goes, "You have to fight my son." Okay, I'll do it. Boom, full arena, competition. Like, it's just everything moved like that where there was no nuance.
Yeah.
There was no characterization. I want to sit. This movie doesn't ever sit with the characters. Yes.
But I don't. I hear you, and I don't disagree with you. I do think they made this for little kids.
I know, and that's what I'm saying. They literally, again, this is the genetically engineered part of it.
Yeah.
They literally cut any nuance
right
where a kid would go, man, I'm bored. Like, that's the thing. So it's just trailer shots.
There is nothing to be.
I think they think they created a movie that was all killer, no filler.
Yeah.
But, like, do you want a Twinkie with no filler?
Right.
No, that's gross.
No, you want a mouthful of that luscious, luscious cream, Joe.
That's a big-ass Twinkie.
Yeah.
But just a little bit of the scene where Mario's worried and the princess is telling him, like...
There are no stakes in this movie.
Yeah.
The only thing that even come close is when, obviously, it's Luigi, so we know Luigi's not going to die. But when they're lowering his cage into the lava.
Man, it's close, isn't
and
it?
And he's like, you know, got himself like wedged up in the top. Yeah. And I was like, oh, well, now we can get out. Yikes. That's great.
But so then they've created this lore that Donkey Kong is like a kart racing society. I don't know. That's weird. Like, sure. Because they're just like, Mario Kart's popular. Boom!
Right.
Right?
We need a Mario Kart.
It was a way to get Mario Kart.
Nothing
in
the Donkey Kong. There is a game called...
Rainbow Bridge.
There is a game called Diddy Kong Racing, where his son, I guess...
I think it's his brother.
Are they brothers?
I don't know.
I thought it was his son. There is a game where Diddy Kong and his friends get together, and they do racing, and there's all sorts of karts. It's very much like Mario Kart, but in the Diddy Kong world with different Nintendo characters. But, like, in the Donkey Kong games, nothing about the Donkey Kong Island and their society has to do with Mario Kart.
No, he's in Mario Kart. Yeah. That's as far as we can get you.
So the entire Donkey...
It's wacky races for...
It is very much... Yeah. Mario Kart is absolutely...
Nintendo characters.
Yes.
But,
yeah.
But to shove in Mario Kart, they gave it to the Kongs, and they made their entire society...
They got toys to sell, man.
I know.
I gotta tell you, though, that scene with them riding on the back of that the first go-kart,
yeah,
pretty good.
That was funny.
I liked that.
Yeah. I liked the Mario Kart scene.
It was good. It was well done. The Rainbow Bridge.
I didn't know how we got there or why.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, yeah, that's fun.
No, and it is entertaining. It is. That's the thing. But it's just like, boom, people love Mario Kart. Put it in there. And here, do you remember that time in the game where you do that and that? And it's like, but the games, you're playing them.
Yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
So a lot of these things as Easter eggs, while they're clever because you can point to them, they're not as fun as when you're playing.
You know what would have been a fun little gag?
What's that?
You know how in Indiana Jones they don't show you him traveling? They show like a map.
The map.
That if they were to do that in this, but do the map from Mario 3.
Oh my gosh. Oh, right? I loved it.
That would be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, so they're fighting
you just
Bowser.
Wrote a better movie than
that. That's a good gag. If they showed them scooting around Mario 3
to different worlds.
Oh
yeah.
My gosh.
So yeah, so they're fighting Bowser. He fires the infamous giant black missile that will track you no matter where you go. Mario tricks it into
Bullet Bill.
Is that really what it's called?
Bullet Bill.
I've never heard of that. I've never heard his name.
His name's Bullet Bill.
Okay, I'll take it.
Don't you remember Super Mario World with the big
So I never played Super Mario World. No. I went from like 3
to the 64.
To the 60 to the Mario Kart.
Oh, okay.
Like there was a big jump.
Super Mario World on SNES is one of the greatest Mario games of all time. Oh my gosh,
okay,
yes.
Okay.
That's the introduction of Yoshi. Which
I did play that.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right.
Yes. Yeah, that's the like level 2 or
something. That's a great game. You're absolutely right.
That is a great game. There's one of the levels, a big Bullet Bill starts off in the level and you have to run away
from him. Yes, you're right. Spoilers for the end of this movie. Yoshi's egg cracks open.
Yeah. That's the other thing. Right?
Yeah.
If we're going to talk about real quick. So they go from island to island. Bowser's going to take away all the worlds. And the way he does it is he gets the super star, which is the one that you flash colors and you're invincible. I did think it was kind of a clever use the way
they did
it. But he's going to take over all the islands. We see an entire island full of Yoshis. So what is our post-credit scene? They tease a Yoshi?
Well, they tease the Yoshi.
I know, but don't show us 1,000 Yoshis and then be like, oh my God, Yoshis are coming? This is the after credit scene of Sonic. It's the exact same thing.
Oh, sure.
The Tails
tease. Absolutely right. Yeah.
At the end of Sonic, it's like, that's cool. You don't see anything to do with Tails, and you tease Tails for the next one.
Right.
They should have shown no Yoshis and then been like, what's coming next? Yoshi. I just think it's weird to show an island of Yoshis.
And then...
And tease an egg.
Yes.
It was pretty dumb.
It was very dumb.
But that's the thing. We can't just show an egg. We got to show Yoshis. We got to show everything, right?
They have to know. They
Yoshi
have to know.
Island,
that
they got
to
see all the Yoshis as an Easter egg, but then we got to see the egg. We got to.
Yeah. So he fires Bullet Bill into the real world, quote unquote.
Mario is able
to
trick Bullet Bill into going into the pipe, and then that goes into the real world and just like demolishes.
Sucks everything.
The place.
And so our heroes get tossed back to Brooklyn. They're losing the fight, and they just so happen they get in a position where they can get the superstar.
Because Bowser, like, carries the superstar next to
him. But why wouldn't he just use it?
At
this point?
So his whole thing was that he wanted Princess Peach and him to rule the all the kingdoms or whatever, and I guess he was saving it because it's a one-time use.
Right.
So I guess he, because, I mean, unless he was going to harness it in a different way, like maybe his scientists were able to tap into the power.
Sure.
Or something. But it's just weird that it's like, let me just bring around my ultimate weapon with me. Oops.
Yeah, here, but, you good guys touch it.
But kids.
So, of course, know, Mario and Luigi touch the superstar, and they just start tearing through.
And, I mean, the music cue.
Music is pretty good. Yeah.
And like, I mean, they
builds,
were.
It builds up to it.
They were good about. Yeah. Using all the music. I love they go underground and they do da na na na.
Yeah,
I mean, they the water, worked in they all do. The different, yeah.
Again, Easter eggs galore for this movie.
It is.
And they win, right? Of course, they what? Knock out.
Shocking.
They knock out Bowser.
They're kicking the crap out of him.
They are. And it's pretty great. I will say, this movie does look really good. Like, it's a really good looking movie.
Looks as good as any other Illumination movie.
Yes.
I think they all look decent.
Yeah. So, you know, they push Bowser back through the portal. Our heroes
they
are,
shrink them.
That's right. They shrink them. That's right.
Yeah, Mario takes
the blue mushroom,
the poison mushroom, or whatever, the little mini, and turns them small against
Donkey
Kong.
I told you I could get you a turtle.
And then they like shove it
a turtle for your
And they put it into Bowser's mouth and they shrink him. That was pretty good because he jokes it'll give Princess Peach a turtle.
Yeah, he's
when
like,
they're in the real world.
We have turtles for pets in our world. Good. What are you talking about? So so they they're the heroes of Brooklyn. Everything's saved. An alarm goes off. They wake up. You assume they're in the current, real world. Turns out they've gone back to the Mushroom Kingdom, they being Mario and Luigi. And that's where they live. And that's how this movie
there
ends.
You go. The post-credit scene, was it the star? What was the very...
The mid-credit scenes was the star.
Yeah.
It's over. Yeah. It's finally over.
I loved... Seriously, that character was...
Yeah, right.
That was great.
And then the post-credit is the Yoshi egg cracking open.
Yoshi!
And that's
makes
it.
Makes the noise.
Yeah. And I will never remember. I'm lucky I saw this 2 days ago and I'm able to remember what I remember.
I was bummed because I saw it 4 days ago and I'm like, I just wanted to talk about it, be done with it, because it was so disappointing and so frustrating. And then, of course,
it's been a long time since I've been this disinterested going into an episode.
I know.
But did you have any affinity for the game?
Yeah, I played the original Super Mario Brothers and a Donkey Kong. Donkey Kong, and that was a quarter of crack.
God,
so that was some real money.
Right.
I saw a lot of people referencing the Easter egg. They're like, oh, Mario versus Donkey Kong. That's like harkening back to the old days. But Cranky Kong is Donkey Kong Donkey Kong arcade game.
He is not Cranky.
Yeah,
he is
they
not Donkey
retconned
Kong.
It to where the Kong in Donkey Kong now is Cranky Kong. And then I guess that's the grandfather.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is dumb.
I didn't know that.
Because it's like, well, but it's called Donkey Kong.
Right.
The game is still
because
called
the
Donkey
next
Kong.
One was Donkey Kong Jr. And then I guess now that's Donkey Kong. And then the current Donkey Kong is Jr.
Okay.
And so,
right.
The one with the tie.
Donkey Kong is really Donkey Kong Jr.
Got it. That's a lot. Man, this is worse than comic books.
See.
Yeah. At least you can follow that. Sort of.
So Cranky Kong is Donkey Kong Sr.
Right.
So the one, from, the old guy, the is actually the guy that fought Jumpman in lore.
Yeah.
Golly.
Yeah, when he's throwing barrels.
Anything they can do to we own that.
Hey,
we own that.
This is what was frustrating. So Donkey Kong's throwing barrels and stuff, and I'm like, where's the Mario arcade? Where's the hammer? I thought he was going to beat him by getting the hammer.
That would have been pretty good.
That would have been a good Donkey Kong fight scene. Why?
Like Fixed Felix.
Yes, which is the same,
But yeah, it is what it is. I think the
kids will love it.
And this
the
is making stupid money.
It is the
it's
highest.
It's crazy.
With a caveat, it is the highest opening for an animated film of all time.
What's the
Frozen
caveat?
Frozen opened at a 3-day weekend. This opened at a 5-day weekend. But it has made almost $400 million worldwide.
That's
and it
bonkers.
Is projected to make $200 million domestic.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Thanks, Tom Cruise, for saving cinemas.
I will say the theater, I went to see it on Thursday at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
And it was crowded.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My theater, the Draft House in the area that it is, never really has a lot of people in it. But
I would think especially for a kid's movie.
Correct.
Yeah.
But this, again, same thing. I would say it was about half full.
Yeah.
My theater that I went to had a 3:30, a 3:45.
There were
many
right screenings.
Yeah.
I will also say... that it's maybe the earliest I've seen the soft opening screen.
Yes,
like in the middle
of
the
Wednesday.
Day.
When did they?
Oh,
do
it opened
soft?
On Wednesday.
So,
oh,
they do
I didn't
Tuesday
know that. Oh, I saw Thursday.
Okay.
I didn't realize it opened on Wednesday.
Yeah, they did a Wednesday release to get that extra.
Okay.
You know what they do at the Draft House that I didn't realize for kids movies?
What's that?
Serve beer,
non-alcoholic beer.
Oh, they also do that. They do that, but they also have like a kid-friendly showing and an all ages showing.
Oh, that's cool.
Where it's just like, you know what you're getting into when you go to that theater. I was like, that's kind of dope. Like,
that makes sense, because their whole thing is like, you got to comport yourself like a grown up.
Correct.
And that they're like,
and these two are just like, we get it.
Yeah, you're going to see a Mario movie. Like,
deal
with
it. But I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
Well, I guess that brings this one to a close. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find
this. This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21. You can also follow me on Letterboxd at the same.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online, Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. And don't forget our Patreon, patreon.com/real spoilers. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Lena obtains the rock.
Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you. Better watch out. It's going to ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.